Section 5. In the Southern Field.
As a shepherd seeketh out his flock, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 12.
Chapter 1. Needs of the Southern Field.
The Lord expects far more of us than we have given Him in unselfish service for people of all classes in the southern states of America. This field lies at our very doors, and in it there is a great work to be done for the Master. This work must be done now. While the angels continue to hold the four winds, there is no time to lose. The Lord has long been waiting for human instrumentalities through whom to work. How much longer will He be obliged to wait for men and women to respond to the call, "Go work today in my vineyard"? Messengers of mercy are needed, not merely in a few places in the South, but throughout the whole field. Rich and poor are calling for the light. Men and women should now be offering themselves to carry the truth into the highways and byways of this field. There are thousands who might give themselves to God for service. He would accept them and work through them, making them messengers of peace and hope. The workers will meet with many who will harden their hearts against the conviction of God's Spirit, but they will meet also with many who are hungering for the bread of life, and who, receiving the message, will go forth to sow the seeds of truth. When the Lord laid upon Moses the work of leading the children of Israel from Egypt, He gave him the assurance, "Certainly I will be with thee. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." See Exodus 3:12 and 33, verse 14. The same assurance is given to those who go forth to work for the Lord in the southern field. My brethren and sisters, commune with God, that you may be imbued with His Spirit, and then go forth to bestow on others the grace you have received. The example of the Savior should inspire us to put forth earnest, self-sacrificing effort for the good of others. He came to this world as the unwearied servant of man's necessity. Love for the lost race was manifested in all that He said and did. He clothed His divinity with humanity, that He might stand among human beings as one of them, a sharer of their poverty and their griefs. What a busy life He led! Day by day He might be seen entering the humble abodes of want and sorrow, speaking hope to the downcast and peace to the distressed. This is the work that He asks His people to do today. Humble, gracious, tender-hearted, pitiful, He went about doing good, lifting up the bowed down and comforting the sorrowful. None who came to Him went away unhelped. To all He brought hope and gladness. Wherever He went, He carried blessing. We need to humble ourselves before God because so few of the members of His church are putting forth efforts that in any wise compare with the efforts that the Lord desires them to put forth. The opportunities that He has given us, the promises that He has made, the privileges that He has bestowed should inspire us with far greater zeal and devotion. Every addition to the church should be one more agency for the carrying out of the plan of redemption. Every power of God's people should be devoted to bringing many sons and daughters to Him. In our service, there is to be no indifference, no selfishness. Any departure from self-denial, any relaxation of earnest effort, means so much power given to the enemy.